יש הד. So tell me when I should begin. Ken, no problem. That's about the maximum that I can, decibelium that I can use right now. I hope everyone can hear. I don't see you all, but I can really imagine you all there. Okay, so firstly, I must say that I miss you all, and it was quite a kind of makkah to be lying there sick with corona, and knowing that the retreat is happening.
Recording in progress.
Knowing that the retreat is happening, and. And corona is really unpredictable. It does what it does. It seems like all the rules that we want don't work anymore. Weird stuff happens. But anyway, I'm better after a few days. And it was time for me to practice exactly what you're practicing, which is applying kindness in the situation of being sick. And how does one do that? And what does it feel like? So on the one hand, kindness can be seen as a really effective way of healing, of undoing conflict and struggle and pressure to be better and concepts of what it is to be sick or healthy. So on that level, kindness is a healing energy, smoothing, softening, and healing the relationship between the person and the body. But what's really more interesting in the context of this talk is the deeper level, because if I meet my vulnerability while sick, it's so clear that life is hanging on a thread. We are just here temporarily, and vulnerability is the name of the game. And if we go to that place, vulnerability, pigiut, opens beyond the personal level, because everything is vulnerable and all beings are vulnerable. And so compassion happens by itself, because we see how much we are part of all beings who are also vulnerable like us. So there's something in a way with the disease that really takes us out of the self picture, and compassion can be discovered. And what's important is compassion is entirely natural. It's not an artificial state that needs a lot of development. It's a basic ground. It's a basic ground of our interrelationship with the world, with others, with everything, our mother, father, our society, our planet, our body. And compassion as a ground is usually forgotten, because it's taken over by issues and concerns and interests and the need to survive and what's wrong and what needs to be fixed and what we need to be busy with. Seeing compassion as a ground, as entirely natural, is a very powerful place for development of the Brahmaviharas. Because, especially because, kindness and compassion can be remembered rather than hunted for, sought, or tried to get from a lot of practice and a lot of intense striving for kindness and compassion within a difficult world. If we go back to the sense that kindness and compassion are basic ground of our being, then they need to be remembered rather than found. So, in terms of what we're doing, the retreat, we all want freedom. We are all, in a way, we have aspiration, we have longing, and we practice for freedom. And that includes our struggle to quieten this crazy mind, which you've probably already met in a thousand different annoying expressions. We want to quieten the disturbances. We want to find a deep peace. And we also want to invite insight. But there is a tendency for us to do it all through struggle. It's because we're used to struggle. From the moment more or less we were born, we're used to struggle. And the insight we begin to feel is a little bit like we're waiting for the small moment of the sky between all the heavy clouds, or a bit of sunlight behind the clouds. It changes things if we understand that what we are looking for is the default. It's already there. It's already what we're made of, but we just tend to forget it. And so a lot of the practice that we're doing is about remembering. Remembering not only to be aware, but remembering awareness itself. So, as you know, Sati translated, I think, not very well as mindfulness in the Pali, a very strong theme in the word itself is remembering. And what it is we remember, to be aware, to be there, to be remember our being, and remember awareness itself. We are aware beings. And what's interesting and relevant to this retreat is it's the same with the heart. The heart seems, especially the heart, crazy. Anger and frustration and disappointment, and we run off somewhere and we don't like this, and it's restless, and we have fears and we have anxieties, and say, oh my God, this heart is totally unreliable and crazy. How can it be a liberating power? How can we find love behind all the craziness of the heart? But it's just the same as the craziness of the mind. Awareness behind our ordinary experience of the mind, love behind the ordinary experience of the heart. And we don't need to work so hard to hunt for that love, because it's the source of everything else that happens. It's the source of all that craziness of the heart. Behind it is love. Behind it is connection. Behind it is being, wanting to be with. So it needs to be remembered. So this model of remembering a deeper heart language under the ordinary heart mind, we do tend to think it needs intensive striving and practice. Striving to find the spaces. But if we change the model a bit and we begin to see that we are made of a free mind, we are a free person creating trouble for ourselves, creating loads of difficult thoughts. We are a free, loving heart creating all that crowd of disturbing feelings. If we really kind of go there and rest in that place, it really helps us to kind of find a ground, a default place where love is so much more than our life, in our life. It's very basic to the Dharma. And I have to say that the greatest teaching in the Dharma that, you know, inspires me in a thousand ways all the time is Paticca Samuppada. And I don't want to go into that teaching now, but just to say that Paticca Samuppada, meaning the wheel of samsara that's constantly creating forms and structures, sankharas and issues and sufferings and so on, Paticca Samuppada says that that's active. It's not basic to, it's not basic. If we keep, we have to put effort and energy and habit to create our suffering. It doesn't happen by itself. It happens because we put energy into it. Paticca Samuppada is active. It's going around the wheel of life. And the default would be just stopping the wheel. A place of rest, of just not busy with construction, whether it's the mind or the heart. So Paticca Samuppada does tell us something there, that consciousness and love are our basic connectedness with everything. It holds everything together. And then we have on top of that busyness constructing worlds, just nonstop round the wheel. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And if we see that, we can actually reduce the energy we put into construction. We can actually rest from construction, yeah, bit by bit. And it's a different energy from struggling to stop, the world, to find its default place. And we, using the image of the sky, we can't hide the sky. The sky is always there. So it very much affects everything. This kind of direction affects everything that we're doing in our practice. And I understand that Simi talked today about intention and about gratitude. And so I wanted to bring those themes up briefly. And intention can be seen as kindness. Intention can be soft and kind and compassionate. Instead of striving, which is based on something being wrong and needing to be fixed. There's another kind of intention which is based on kindness, which carries us through our practice, through our day. Soft intention is about remembering. Remembering deeper places. Intention to remember. Intention to rediscover something that's already there. Intention to let flower places inside us. It needs a lot of trust also. Trust is a kind of intention. I trust that this journey will do the job. I trust this moment, this quiet moment of meditation, this quiet moment of walking in the path. In that moment, I have the intention to remember a deeper place that's always there. And that's a soft intention. It doesn't need struggle, and it doesn't need judgment. One of the differences, I don't say, by the way, that all our practice should be super easy, soft, and like having ice creams in a hot day. Our practice can need real intense inner work. It's soft and so on. In relation to metta practice, the invitation here with metta practice, with kindness practice, with compassion practice, is that in this place we learn that struggle or judgment isn't the only way, that there's other ways that can open doors, including doors of samadhi, concentration, doors of deep awareness, doors of inner quiet. So it's something I'll talk about later, another talk, and go into the details of that. So intention here can be seen as a form of love. We are pulled back to our source. We want to go back to our source. Intention can be soft, like returning home. Intention to go back home. So I think that is a way that we can sort of explore intention in the practice. When we're walking, just explore the intention that keeps us step after step, or the intention that asks us to turn around and go back, and how it can be soft and natural. So another place I want to mention, there are many, many skillful means and ways of purifying the heart, of touching a more primal, universal place, of going under all that kind of messy heart energy we talked about, all the wild emotions that pass by all the time. So there are a lot of skillful means. And one that Simi already talked about is gratitude. And what's important about the skillful means and some movement of the heart like gratitude, it's already less personal. It's already not about personal interests and needs. it's already taking us on the journey to discovering a more primal place of love in the heart. It's closer to the wide heart. And not the crazy, conditioned heart. It's less conditioned gratitude. And there are many other movements like that. For example, appreciation. And they're kind of intermediate stages because they take us really out of the personal interest place into something that is already bigger and wider, more open, a bit like I said, what happened to me while being sick. Then vulnerability for me was a kind of a key to opening the compassion. And in terms of remembering, we really, in this retreat, just need to slow down. Again, I'll talk about it perhaps more later, another talk. Slow down and practice kindness in any possible way, because there's nothing out of the territory of kindness. We think, oh my God, my mind though is just crazy. It's going mad. How can I be kind to that mind? And all the answer is, of course you can be kind to the mind. Its mind is calling us to be kind to it. The mind is asking us for our love. Like the demon in all the mythology, the demon is actually asking us for love. So even the difficult places, like I said before, me and all those symptoms of corona, the difficult places, they're not out of the world of kindness. Kindness goes there as well. And slowly, slowly, this sense of kindness and appreciation of this in the moment by moment will do the job. It's almost like you don't need anything else for this retreat. Just stay with that. Of course, there's many skillful means as well, but I'm just sort of giving it this importance. And I just want to say a few words about something that is really very basic and quite deep and is often forgotten. That we tend, as mind-oriented society, culture, history, etc., we tend to think that liberation is a mind quality, that we liberate the mind. And it's the mind which is the agency for liberation. In other words, change the mind or expand the mind or open the mind. And then all the words that you know, insight and realization. But I do want to say that the heart is the power for liberation as much, and sometimes more. I just have a small story that touched me. I just come back from the UK, where I guess I got the disease. And there's a friend of mine who is a professor of consciousness studies called Max Wellmans. And he's written really classical books and texts on consciousness. And he gave a talk at the age of 80 that I listened to. And he said that what made him turn to consciousness as a theme that guides his life was a liberating experience he had, which really was a liberating experience. Experience, yes, but really powerful. of to totality, of losing himself into the universe, basically. And he said, no other word works in such a situation except love. No other word works except love. And I think that the heart takes over when the mind finds its limits. When the mind reaches the end of its possibilities, and it really is limited, this mind, it's really got limits and boundaries. It's very formed, the mind is full of form. The heart takes over at the place where the mind can't go there. And that's why the heart is a huge source of the unlimited. And sometimes it's much easier to see the unlimited through the heart than through the mind. Even if we try very hard to do it through the mind, the mind has so much built-in history, structure, form, and paticca samuppada, name and form. And the heart sometimes gives us hints of the unlimited, which is much more available and easier than the mind. And it's written into the definition of the Brahma Viharas, because the Brahma Viharas are defined as the immeasurable. The mind measures, but the heart doesn't measure. It doesn't know how to measure. The mind measures, the heart doesn't. So experiences, and never mind total awakening, but any real awakening experience is often beyond our language, beyond concepts, hard to describe or hard to formulate. And love often seems a much better, more authentic way of understanding these experiences and often allowing them. The heart can drive awakening, not just the mind also, but we shouldn't underestimate the power of the heart. And basically, awareness and heart work together, taking us out of the place of conditioning. So though it seems the heart is unreliable, the Brahma Viharas, the immeasurable power of love, compassion, joy, and equanimity are fundamental, ready in us. And they seem often like a deeper truth, deeper than thought, which is hard perhaps to understand, but when you feel compassion and you know that all beings are with you, maybe with their diseases or their struggle of life, and your brings you to a place of deep belonging and togetherness with all beings and with everything, you know there that that's a deeper truth that the mind doesn't reach. It's deeper than thought. So that's all I want to say this evening. It's a short talk, but that's all I have energy for this evening. I hope to be continuing. I don't know quite how long I'm not allowed to come to join you, but maybe in a day or two or three, I will join. Meanwhile, I'll try and be available online. And I wish you all deep love as truth. So let's take a couple minutes of quiet. כן, תודה לך. יופי. So enjoy the walk, everybody, this evening. cool evening air. Okay, and bye-bye from me.
Recording stopped.